Some people just don't get sports.
Sounds like you have mental problems.
And honestly, we just don't get them.
Exactly.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepard. Chris on the other side of the glass. Sheeman and Shepard on ESPN Southwest Florida on a Monday. Our Final Four is set for college football. Coming up in a moment, we will talk with Tim Brando. And we'll talk about other things as well that pique his interest. Always a great conversation. I see Utah is headed to Raymond James, taking his son to his first football game.
Nice.
So
nice.
Saints and Bucks tonight on a game you can hear right here on ESPN Southwest Florida. At 2.5 minutes past the hour, it's time for a SportsCenter Rundown. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Chris.
This SportsCenter Rundown brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Bonita Springs and Mercedes-Benz of Naples. They've joined forces to bring you twice the selection and twice the service. Stop in and see us today or shop online and we'll deliver to your home. mbbonitasprings.com or mbnaples.com.
All right, Monday Night Football tonight. The Buccaneers host the Saints. Coverage on ESPN Southwest Florida starts at 7 o'clock. Kickoff at 8:15. Watch it on ESPN or the Manning Cast on ESPN2. Florida Gators quarterback Anthony Richardson announced he's going to forego his college eligibility and enter the 2023 NFL Draft. He will not play in the Las Vegas Bowl for the Gators against Oregon State. The Mets and free agent pitcher Justin Verlander agree on a two-year, $86 million contract, and two-time All-Star shortstop Trey Turner agrees to the Phillies on an 11-year, $300 million contract.
Justin Verlander getting paid. You know what's bad? Every time anybody goes to the Mets, they end up start getting hurt if they're a pitcher. Well, no, that's a lot of money. What, $43 million a year? After Tommy John surgery. That's pretty good. Pretty good money.
See if Aaron Judge is next.
Yeah,
it's. My gut feeling prediction: he goes to the San Francisco Giants.
All possible.
Yep.
Any part of you feel that he stays at the Yankees? Or
yes.
Is that small?
Yeah. Okay. Big part. No, I think it's. I'm torn. It's like third Yankees. Yankees should have. They should have a little bit of an edge, you would think, but it all depends where his heart wants to be. And if he feels disrespected, if you can be disrespected at $250 million or whatever it was. You know, or he might just want to go back to where he's from. He might want, you know, in his heart, he may want to go be a Giant.
Yeah. All right. So college football, we got four teams ready to go. Georgia, going to take on Ohio State.
I can't wait for you to say we'll have 12 teams ready to go in 2 years. It's going to be fantastic.
I don't know, man. I got a couple more years. Yeah. Well, that's all.
And you're going to love it. You're going to be so excited because more college football. It's going to be so much fun.
Listen, I'm going to have one problem with the 12 team, and that's where you got a three loss team getting a bye. That's going to happen with the current format. Tim Brando is with us, of course, from Fox Sports. I just realized we haven't had him on this year, which is sinful on my part. Sorry about that, Tim. How are you?
Hi, Tim.
Oops, did we have him? Pot him up. There we go. There you go. Now we got him. Hi, Tim. How are you?
Okay,
there we go.
I'm fine. Good to be with you.
Did we get the right four? Are you pleased with? Do we have the best four?
Yeah, and I think the only reason we did is because this committee was made aware that we're moving to 12, and it's in the cards, and it's a done deal. Mm-hmm. And because that is the case, they couldn't slip this year. Mm-hmm. They could not invoke their usual brand bias, which has been a hallmark of the college football playoff fundamentally flawed format since they went to four. And, of course, the BCS is a godforsaken process, too. So we finally are looking at, a game changer for the college game. And it will change the paradigm of the college football fans' delight in manners they don't even know yet. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's going to be so big. It's going to help the sport so much, not just the postseason, but the regular season will be enhanced with more games that matter for teams trying to get into the top 12. And I have already made this prediction, and I believe it to be true. I think by at least the second year of the playoff, the new playoff, by 2025-26. It's going to start a year early, okay? So the new television contract, ink won't be dry until year two of the 12 teams. And so that new TV deal, I believe, will have 16 teams with the top four teams getting to play the opening week at home on their campuses rather than get first-round buys. And that is going to net them being the institutions, the colleges, probably another half a billion. We'll be up around $2.5 to $3 billion for this deal. So it's just going to be great. And I think the committee this year, because of that, sort of understood that more and more people were just not going to accept a two-loss team like in Alabama into this playoff when their biggest wins were against Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Texas, all teams with four losses. They didn't do enough on the field to earn the right to be in the playoff. But in the past, and I really thought it would be true, I said so on social media, I said if TCU lost, Alabama would get in on pure playoff privilege, and gladly I was wrong. I'm really happy the committee did the right thing, and they did.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, were you watching the show yesterday live? And here's the thing, when Boo Corrigan comes on, and I'll give Reese Davis a lot of credit. He was adamant pre-announcement of the four that he was convinced there was going to be Ohio State and Michigan in a semifinal game. And I'm like, there's no way in hell that's going to happen. They, you know, off the record, they never say it on the record, but off the record, they try to say, let's not have a semifinal rematch. A final is fine, but not the semis. And then we hear Boo Corrigan, who was fine right up until I was waiting for the Thor and Shazam lightning bolts to come down, when he said, nobody at the table once brought up that Michigan and Ohio State rematch in the semifinal. He said nobody ever brought it up. Now, come on. You could smell it, the manure coming through the television. Did you feel the same way I did?
Well, sure. And, I mean, I didn't see it live. I was trying to get back from Boise, Idaho.
That's right.
I was laid over in the lovely Admirals Club. And if you weren't watching World Cup, you had to be watching the Eagles and the Titans.
Yeah.
You were not going to see that show in the Admirals Club at DFW. But I did have my wife DVR it, and so I looked at it last night. I will take issue with Reese when he says that no team has gotten more benefit of the doubt in the history of the playoff than Ohio State. That's garbage. Alabama has always gotten. I mean, that's garbage. That's just that's a biased statement because he went to Alabama. Yep. I get that. Mm. But listen, Reese does a great job.
Yes.
I wouldn't want to do that show. For hell or high water, I wouldn't want to have to do that show every week because you're asking questions that you know are going to get canned responses. It's nothing but talking points that whoever the spokesperson is has to deliver. Boo's a friend of mine and is Gene Corrigan's son, and his other son, Tim, worked with me when I was at ESPN when he was just a kid coming out of college, and he's now one of the top producers of NBA basketball, and he's won a lot of Emmys. I love that family, but listen, that's just a thankless job, and what Reese has to do every Tuesday night, asking those questions, is also something I would never want to do.
But
the two biggest programs in terms of privilege and overall equity built up over time are Bama and Ohio State, and the reasons are clear. Those two markets, Birmingham and Columbus, Ohio, are the two highest-rated television markets for college football.
Mm-hmm.
In a sport that many claim are regional, especially people in sports media claim is regional, but is the second most popular sport in America today. Okay,
yeah.
So college football is shortchanged in terms of the way the media covers it on a daily basis. But when Saturdays come around, people's eyeballs are entrenched on college football somewhere. They just happen to be rooting for teams of their interest in their region of the country, but they're not keeping up with what's going on everywhere in the country. I think that's what's going to change here when we go to 12 teams in the playoffs. And when we go to 16, which I think is inevitable, it'll be even bigger. It's going to look and sound, from a television standpoint, a lot more like the NFL with multiple TV carriers of the playoffs. You just saw with the new Big Ten deal that you're going to have CBS and NBC rotating beginning next year for the number two game. Fox will have the big noon game. But we've got three over-the-air network television operations that are running Big Ten football on a regular basis. Who knows how many might get involved in the playoff?
I just get...
Who knows? I mean, it could be a lot.
I don't, but what I don't understand, Tim, is why Boo Corrigan, don't treat us all like we're, you know, morons. Just come on and say, well, of course it came up about Michigan and Ohio State. We don't, you know, we're trying to, you know, we don't feel really comfortable about putting in a semi. Just tell the truth. Just tell us what we all know.
Yeah. Well, I get that. You know, the NCAA has always said that with the conference tournaments, NCAA tournament, you know, you build the pods and then they make sure that certain teams that are in the same region because of multiple teams going into the NCAA, that you wait as long as you possibly can to finally meet that team. You know, we've had that happen in the past in NCAA tournaments where, you know, you didn't have to meet a conference team until you got either to the Elite Eight, you know, or the Final Four. It might happen in the semis, but you keep them apart for as long as you can. He could have just said that and everybody would have been fine.
Sure, yeah.
Tim Brando is with us. Sheba DeShepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida. Looking ahead to the format, if it were applied this year, I got a problem with it. I believe Utah with three losses, we get a bye. I don't like that part of it at all. Do you have a solution to it?
Well, there may be parts of it that you don't like, but it won't keep people from watching, okay? Because the compelling matchups are what they are. I'm trying to remember. Who would they play in the 12? They would be playing in. Give me the numbers. They'll be by the names real quick.
Utah with their bye, they'd be waiting for the winner of TCU and Tulane if it were this year.
Love that. Love it.
Yeah. See, I'm fine with that.
Me too.
I got no problem with it. And I saw Utah this year lose to UCLA, and that team was a really good team that lost, and they had some impressive wins to go with it. I mean, beating USC twice and pommeling them the second time, you know, gives them a lot of credibility. So, to me, that negates your thought. I think that there is a purist attitude about the college game that tells people, well, I don't want to see teams with three losses. Well, teams in college football today evolve in ways that they didn't used to. I mean, we're playing 13 games now, not 10. You know, years ago, we only played 10 games. In some conferences, gosh, back in the 70s and early 80s when Herschel Walker was playing for Vince Dooley, they played like six conference games in the SEC.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different ball game now. So I think you just have to let your history and your purity of what college football used to be, you got to remember that the game has evolved and we got more teams in conferences and therefore they're playing more conference games and there are better opportunities to lose. And even if you happen to lose, you may gain a great deal from it. You know, Kansas State lost to Tulane. Tulane, all right, which, by the way, I put it number 10 in my final standings this week. I think they deserved it with what they did. They avenged the only loss they had. And you watch, they're going to play in the Cotton Bowl. And I think they're going to... USC is not going to be happy about having to play them.
No, I'm with you.
They are not, you know, traditionally teams like USC, if they're not in Pasadena at the least, they are so disinterested in playing in other, even New Year's Six bowl games. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you if you thought, you know, if a tall task, but just, you know, let's move ahead in the time machine. Should Michigan and Ohio State meet in the final? I believe it has a chance to be the highest-rated national championship game of all time because think both fan bases and the casual fan is interested in those two teams, not to mention the incredible top two fan bases and the biggest college football rivalry, I think, in the country. Do you buy that?
Right. By the way, that would have also been a good answer by Boo.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
You know, that would have been a quality, true response, I think. Yeah, I mean, I think it was over 17 million.
Right.
Tune in for the game on Fox, easily the highest rated game of the year, and easily secures the Fox Big Noon window as the most viable, highest rated college football window. You know, at a time when so many people diss the notion of having to play at 11 a.m. Central or noon Eastern time, I got to give credit to my friend Michael Mulvihill, who's our TV guru at Fox, for coming up with the idea of Big Noon. But, yes, in a national championship, it could score sort of an NFL NFC or AFC type rating, you know, championship rating, because not only are the schools so tradition rich and the greatest border rivalry in college athletics, but the alumni bases are vast.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, the only alumni base that is even in the same stratosphere for those, well, there's probably two or three. You put Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Alabama probably, you know, in that group as well. Mm-hmm. Those are teams that are going to bring you massive national audiences no matter what. But for the national championship, yeah, it's the equivalent of, you know, a Duke Carolina national championship, mm-hmm. you know, which we almost had in basketball last year.
Yep.
Tim Brando is with us, Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida. I wanted to ask you your opinion of Deion and Colorado. Are you surprised that that's the school he chose to leave Jackson State for? And how do you think he'll do?
Well, I think he'll do great. You know, Deion's a success waiting to happen no matter where he is. I have to admit, though, when I first heard about this, I thought, Colorado, interesting, and I'm not sure if it is a great fit. And the reason is because of the way Colorado has rolled in recent years mm-hmm. as it relates to college football, going all the way back to the Gary Barnett issue, which ultimately led him out of there. And when you think about it, they've not been relevant since. And you know, Deion's going to just do it his way. And the Colorado academic folks better be aware of that. Okay, this notion that we're going to be a holier than thou institution as it relates to athletics and the separation between athletics and academics. I got news. I mean, he's bringing players that are going to be there to get ready to play at the next level, mm-hmm. and they're just going to have to understand that.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. Okay, and then the more I thought about it, and I started seeing Deion do Deion on social media, I was like, oh, man, he's gotten carte blanche from the athletic director and from that institution's leadership. He is absolutely going to change the way they conduct themselves. And so many of the issues that past coaches have had in dealing with the situation at Colorado, he's been given the keys to the Trans Am that he got when Steinbrenner a million and he was still playing at Florida State.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. I was hosting College Game Day. Probably the greatest original idea we ever had was when we opened our show. It was like week two or three of 1987, and he's got like a Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am, and he's driving into the driveway of the apartment complex, and he's got the T-tops down, just like Burt Reynolds did, yeah. and he says, Tim Brando, how you likes me now?
Well, remember the point.
Look what I'm doing. I got a million to play baseball professionally, but since I'm an amateur in football, I'm going to still play some football here in Florida State. You know, he breaks barriers. He's been doing that, you know, for 35 years. Yeah. And so I think he'll be amazingly successful at Colorado. I don't know how long he'll stay, but it probably is a good spot for him to start because, you know, he hits the ground running at ground zero. They really need a complete overhaul. And I think their fan base, the ones that have been chomping at the bit to be relevant, you know, since those days I mentioned that they were last in bowl games, they're going to be all in with him. You know, they're going to be absolutely all in. So I'm glad that he's playing at the highest level. He's coaching at the highest level now. I'm sure there's some hurt feelings in Jackson because he bolted the way he did, but I thought he handled it exactly the right way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the remnants of Deion's success at Jackson State and for the HBCUs, I think will carry on. I think it'll be something that people will remember. And maybe more and more people like Deion will come back into the HBCUs. You know, we're seeing it with several coaches. That are big names that have come to the HBCU since Deion did.
Do you think, though, we know USF, South Florida, contact him. Do you think before they hired Hugh Freeze, do you think Auburn gave him a call, Wisconsin, Nebraska? I mean, it still blows me away. I think this is one of the most unbelievable hires in college football. I'm 56 years old. In my lifetime that I can remember. Yeah. Do you think, at least Auburn, do you think they gave him a call before hiring Hugh Freeze?
No, I don't think Auburn did. I really don't.
How come?
Well, because I just don't think the way that they have operated in the past would lend you the notion that going outside the box to that extent would ever be something they do. They had two guys in mind and two guys only. And Jimmy Sexton played them against one another, dangled them both out there like low-hanging fruit, which way Auburn would go. And they chose to go with the cheaper choice, which was Hugh, and who was definitely, I think, the favorite with at least 50% of the Auburn faithful. And the other 50% wanted Lane. But Lane was going to cost them about $3 million more annually. So they probably saved about $20, $21 million, which with what they're paying Gus Malzahn and with what they're paying Harsin to not coach there, they probably needed to save, and they can use it for NIL or whatever they want to use it for.
Yeah,
I think that Deion would not be necessarily – if he's a better fit at Colorado, a place like that that's been so disenfranchised from the mainstream of college football, and they have been. For, gosh, almost two decades. You know, McCartney had that one 10-win season, and then that was it. You know, that was it. There really hasn't been much consistent success in winning at Colorado, whereas at a place like Wisconsin, you know, there's been the Wisconsin way. They've always hired from within. You know, what they did, I thought, was very un-Wisconsin-like in the aftermath of firing Chris four games in. But to pass on Jim Leonard, who was one of their own, to bring in Luke Fickell was, I mean, for them, that was a wildly outside-the-box hire.
Yeah.
But you know, a guy like Deion, at a place like Wisconsin that's been relevant and has, you know, its own brand, you know, the Deion brand is going to overtake whatever your brand is.
That's right.
I think a lot of luminaries at a lot of institutions, you know, want to maintain their own brand, okay? Yeah. Deion destroys your brand. It's all about him when he gets in there, and the leadership of the university has to understand that upon hiring him.
Final question: who's your Heisman winner this weekend?
Well, you know what? You're not supposed to say.
Okay. All right.
Heisman voter, but let's just say I thought the kid that laid it out on the line and put his team on his back and came up what about a length of the football short of getting into the end zone. That kid was not a starter. In fact, he had to come in as a backup quarterback to take TCU where he did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy that he is in the playoff. I think he deserves to be in the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's an indicator of who I really like the most this year, so be it.
All right.
I thought Caleb
Williams had an incredible year, but the way it finished and the public relations, nightmare he had with what he did with his fingernails cost him, in my opinion, a lot. It'll be interesting to see. He will probably still win it, but he's going to be, I think, there'll be a lot of conversation about that in the aftermath. I really believe that.
What's the score of the national championship final, last thing, in your opinion?
Well, I think TCU's going to upset Michigan. Okay?
Yeah.
So I think TCU upsets Michigan, and I think Georgia just gets by Ohio State, and I think the Dogs will repeat. But I think they'll have to score a lot of points to win. I think it'll be take the over. I think it'll be 45-38, the final. And by the way, you know, you get three votes in the Heisman. Trust me when I tell you, Stetson Bennett is one of the three I voted for.
Okay,
that
excellent.
Kid, all right. That kid, much like Duggan, has never been given the credit that he deserves.
And, Tim, were you on TV this weekend?
Yeah.
I'm off, baby.
Whoa! Hey!
How about that?
I'm getting the house ready for the grandkids to come for Christmas at Chateau Brando. I will be, Fox doesn't have any bowl games, per se. I think the Holiday Bowl is the only one we've got.
Yeah.
So I'm done after that Mountain West Championship that Fresno got. And I'm done until basketball.
Yeah.
With Raft, I hooked up with Raftery on the 20th and 21st with Big East games, Georgetown at UConn at Gamble, and then I go over to Villanova to do St. John's and and Villanova on the 21st. So I got a couple of basketball games to do, and then we'll bring in the new year, and then it's off to the Big Ten and the Big East for hoops all the way through the Big East tournament.
Awesome. I'll be watching. Love it.
Merry Christmas to you, and I'm going to try and reach out before that January 9th game, and we'll talk again, all right?
Oh, I'd love to do it. You know, it's always a pleasure being with you guys. And Craig, it was great seeing you, albeit briefly, at the start of the year.
Yeah, that's when my Hoosiers were good, and then now it's basketball season.
Yeah. Yeah, what happened? I thought I carried you to your – you were. I got you off to a 3-0 start for credit.
I know. I was very excited.
he credits himself for Indiana beating Illinois that night, by the way.
That's right, my presence there. It was great. All right, Tim, thanks so much.
Tim,
appreciate it.
You bet. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
That's Tim Brando, everybody, from Fox Sports, college football, college basketball.
Why can't he be on every day?
It's funny because I did run into him at the Illinois game, and that was the first game of the season. I thought, all right, college football season's here. We'll get Brando on, and it's my fault. I didn't reach out, and I was like, wait a minute, the season's done. We got to have him on. So, because I know our audience always loves hearing him. And, we'll get him on the first week of January. And kind of dial in that national championship game.
He's one of the best of all time. Hall of Fame broadcaster.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. All right, don't forget tonight, Monday Night Football. And it's the Bucs and the Saints from Tampa. And we'll have the game here on ESPN Southwest Florida. And brought to you by Creel Tractor, Signs in One Day, and My Shower Door.
When we come back, I have a shekel statistic that's going to blow your mind.
Could you tease me with the sport, or do I have to wait?
College football. The game that will be played this week.
Okay. Oh, well, let's see. Oh, Army-Navy? You got a little nugget for me?
Yes.
All right.
It's going to blow your mind.
Well, okay. I'm ready. That's next. Sheba to Shepherd, ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepard. Chris on the other side of the glass. Sheeman to Shepard, ESPN Southwest Florida. Tonight it is the Bucs and Saints for Monday Night Football right here on ESPN Southwest Florida. Also this weekend, the Army-Navy game coming up, and Pete teased us with a nugget.
Bet the under.
So the under, the under is on, and I can honestly say I've probably done this 16 years. I've never taken a side. I've always taken the under. But I did not take the advice I'm about to give you. The under is on a 16-0 run in the Army Navy.
Red hot.
So if you started in 2006 with a $110 bet, 110 to win 100 on the Army Navy under, and you rolled over your winnings each year for 16 years, you would have totaled $3,424,667.71. So if you just bet in 2006, bet the under, win 100. Next year, roll that over. Yeah, roll it over again.
That's amazing.
$3,424,667.71 in the bank.
So you're saying 16 years from now.
Why not?
I could have $3 million.
Why not?
Just do that plan.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say an over will hit in this game in the next 16 years.
It feels like it, right?
Like, they're due.
It's due.
Just a crazy defensive touchdown or something like that that gives you the over.
Well, I guarantee, and Gabe will come on Friday and again say hit the under.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
But you're right. And Vegas is on to people always betting that. So they lower it every year. And one of these years, it's going to be so low that it's going to go over.
And this Brad Powers breaks down the math wise. So 2006, 110 to win 100, your bankroll's 210. 2007, your bank is 210. to win 190. Now your bankroll's at 491, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. The last year is hysterical. The 2021, it's almost 1.8 million to win almost 1.63 million. Oh. And you win that, it comes out to 3,424,000.
I would have stopped the year
before
1.8.
Wow. The year before that, you would have had $939,648.06.
I might have stopped there.
You would have bet that to win $854,225.50.
You want to guess the total?
38.
Lower.
I was actually going to say
35.
Lower.
No.
33.5.
33.
Wow. That's pretty low. I think last year was 34.
Yeah.
And it hit.
I know. That is so tough. Even if you tease it.
That's just that it will. It comes down to the one play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's usually a fourth and goal.
Yeah.
From somebody's wishbone.
See, right now, Utah is up driving toward Tampa for the Bucs game tonight. He's going, oh, God, get some action on that Army-Navy game.
Chris is dying in the other room. A good prop bet, just for fun in those games, is passing yards. See, you know, because the total.
85.
Oh, it's way under than that. But it is, Navy has played games this year, I believe, at least once, if not twice, where they didn't throw the ball.
Yeah.
The whole game.
Yeah, that can happen.
But that's the thing. When the academies do throw the ball, I always find it fascinating because it always looks like somebody's going to be wide open. It doesn't happen all the time, but when those quarterbacks actually throw the ball,
yeah,
it's pretty interesting.
Navy averages 91.4 passing yards per game. Mm-hmm. Army averages 81.1 passing yards per game.
Wow.
On the ground, Navy accounts for 239.5 a game. Army averages 304.4 yards on the ground a game.
Nice rushing attack.
So you flip that in regular college football.
Yeah,
yes, you
just
do.
It's just clock management. I mean, all it takes is a couple of first downs, a drive, and a punt, and then you know the other team comes back, does the same thing, and you're looking at zeros across the board,
and it's the second quarter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sunday or Saturday in Philadelphia, got a high of 47, a low of 37.
That's balmy.
With rain.
That's balmy. Ooh. For that game.
Well, 30% right. Chance of rain, so yeah, probably not.
We carried that.
What was
that?
Yes, we are.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, we carry it every year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it was two or three years ago, there was a blizzard.
I think it was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if they played during the COVID year.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Oh,
but at the link, yeah, it was a snowstorm.
No, they did because they played it at Mikey Stadium, didn't they?
Did they?
At Army, they might. Did they?
I think they did.
Let's go back and see.
I don't remember that at all.
Yep.
Wow. Did they wear masks?
Probably.
Wow.
Everybody was masked up.
I know. God, I'm glad that phase of our lives are over.
They did not play in 2020.
So Navy's quarterback, Ty Lavatai, from St. John's, Florida, by the way, 6'2", 220. He threw for 5 touchdowns and 3 interceptions this year. Army's quarterback, Cade Ballard, from Greenville, Tennessee, he threw for 2 touchdowns and 2 interceptions this year. So they combined for 7 touchdowns and 5 interceptions this year.
What a ratio. Maybe that's why they run. Well.
Yep.
That's a 1 o'clock?
12. 3 o'clock.
Oh, it's 3? Okay.
Yep.
All right.
It used to be at noon.
And then the Heisman presentation is what?
Yeah.
Like 6 to 8?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Later than that, isn't it?
7 to 9?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
ESPN.com has a list of the 7 schools that make the most sense for DJ Uiagalelei to transfer to.
Yeah.
They've got UCLA, Oregon, Notre Dame, Auburn, Oregon State, Miami, and Florida.
Yeah. A few Pac-12 teams in there, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Paratrooper says, no Man Campbell on the Lions talk this weekend. I heard what he said. Thinks he can play or play with anybody in the league, which is true.
Look, they've been playing well the last 5 weeks.
He has played well with everybody in the league, except for New England. Right. I know, I'm not, but that's really the only game he hasn't really been in, right?
And Utah, if any of you guys have a great feeling on a bet that's around plus 100, plus 200 this week, please let me know.
Well, tonight the Celtics are a plus 1.5 in Toronto. Now, they destroyed Brooklyn last night, forced a gazillion turnovers. And one that, I mean, it's tough to go against the Celtics or the Bruins right now, just to be honest with you. I mean, it's very hard, especially the Celtics getting 1.5. And I'm not sure. They don't do a lot of load management there. I know Marcus Smart set out last night, but I do a little something on the Celtics.
Sure.
They're getting 1.5. I mean,
the Celtics and the Bruins are kind of like the Army-Navy taking the under 16 in a row. Just let it roll. Let it ride.
14 in a row for the Bruins at home.
Jeez. Ridiculous.
By the way, Russell Wilson has still not thrown as many touchdowns as he has bathrooms in his new home.
Unbelievable.
How many bathrooms does he have?
12.
Well, Sierra, what does she need 12 bathrooms for?
Great TikTok account. This kid every week does a recap on who has more touchdowns or more bathrooms.
Yeah.
Bathrooms is still winning.
8 touchdowns, 5 picks. He's thrown for completed 60.1% of his passes, 2,558 yards. Denver's the number one scoring defense in the league.
If you were a draft pick, you'd be a bust.
If you are a defensive player for the Broncos, you just like want to stuff him in a locker and just like, you know, we are busting our tails. A team as good defensively as Denver is, and to be where they are in the standings is just embarrassing. God, it's a bit 3-9. My God,
it's rough. Should draft a quarterback.
They've scored the last three games.
They don't have a first-round draft pick.
The last four games, they've scored 9, 10, 16, and 10 points. They finally got
John Elway really setting up the
George Payton.
Then they got to 21 against Jacksonville, actually won that game. Then before that, they scored 9 against the Jets, 16 against the Chargers, 9 against Indy. I mean, lost to Indy.
So what if they've surpassed 21 points – once this year?
Then they beat San Fran 11-10 and beat the Texans 6. They surpassed past 17. Lost to Seahawks opening, didn't get there. They got past 17 against the Raiders where they lost 32-23. They got to 17 against the Jaguars second time where they won 21-17.
That was in London, though.
Yes. And they have not been at 17.
Doesn't count.
They haven't been at 17 since.
So they've scored over 17 once in the continental United States this year.
Yeah, and even going back to exhibition season, they scored 17 against Dallas. They only scored 15 against the Bills, and they scored 23 against the Vikings. But that is just awful.
Mikey Womp Womp says the Broncos have the Dolphins pick this year? No.
The Dolphins lost their first-round pick, and then they gave San Francisco's first 49ers, to Denver for Bradley Chubb.
All right.
So it's San Francisco's pick that Denver has, not Miami's. Mm. Again, only 31 first-round draft picks this year.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
How about that?
Yeah, way to tamper, Steven.
Well, you know, Chris, it happens.
What? No. It doesn't.
I'm sorry. San Fran's got the best at 15 points. Denver is second at 17. They lost 17 points per game. Dallas is third, 17.2. The Bills are fourth at 17.4. And the Buccaneers are fifth at 18.5.
So the Bears have the number two pick?
Mm-hmm.
They won't go quarterback.
No, they'll trade that and get a haul.
And the Rams have the three. Well, the Lions do.
Yeah.
So that could go to a two, realistically. I mean, the Texans pretty much got the number one pick sewed up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's done and dusted.
Wow. It's exciting. for those of us that have picks.
Yeah, Denver's dead last, scoring 13.8 points per game. 13.8.
But the defense
is first? The defense gives up second. They give up 17.
Yeah, this year the Rams... Right now, the Rams would be selecting third. That pick goes to Detroit. Mm-hmm. The Broncos selecting fourth. That pick goes to Seattle. And the Saints are selecting sixth if the season ended today. And their pick goes to somebody else.
Wow, a lot of teams that don't have their own picks. Mortgaging the future. Not working out.
And does Indy have their first?
I don't remember.
Who would they have given for Carson Wentz?
Yeah. Oh, they
who's
may not.
Who's not on the team anymore?
You
I think
know
they
what?
I think they give up two firsts for Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
I'm going strictly by memory, which is shaky.
At best.
I'm not looking it up, but it sounds right. You think about the haul for Carson Wentz collectively, everywhere he's gone.
It's amazing.
What Philly did to move up to get him, what the Colts did to get him. I don't know what Washington gave up to. I can't remember. But, yeah, that guy has burned a lot of GM picks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Still time to log on to the website, ESPNSWFL.com, and register for $15,000. The Sheeman and Shepherd holiday stimulus is going to be drawn for soon, so make sure you're registered. That simple. What you got is coming up next, Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
Time for those parting shots. It's What You Got with Sheeman and Shepherd.
All right, I'm going to go to tonight's game. And sorry, Bucks fans. I am taking the Saints. I got them here at +3. I think they're +4 now. Is that true?
No, it's three. Oh,
it's three.
Okay. That's also part of my live dog, which I will get if I get that correct. It would be my style to hedge both sides, you know, take live dog Saints, but here on this pick, take the Bucks. But no, I'm a man of integrity, and I will keep it the same for both. So, sadly, taking the Saints, although I'd be happy if Tampa won. How about that? Pete Shepard, what you got?
Interesting stuff. Bruins are a -190 tonight at home against the Golden. Bruins are 14-0 at home. Golden Knights, by the way, coached by former Bruins coach Bruce Cassidy, who's now coaching the Golden Knights. Interesting, would be an interesting irony if they came in and, you know, they certainly are a very good hockey team, one of the best in the Western Conference. Mm-hmm. But I'm not touching that game.
Oh, big setup for not touching
no.
it. Okay.
And Celtics minus +1.5 at the Raptors. I would say put a little look, I haven't seen the lineups or everything. I think most of the players are playing for the Celtics tonight. I'm not sure about Marcus Smart, but I still think you take the Celtics +1.5. But my top play is doing a two-team teaser. The Saints do the 6 points, standard 6 points. Saints +9, and I think the Buccaneers are going to win, by the way. Saints +9 and under 47 with the two-team teaser. Real simple.
I've already got it in.
That's what I did.
It's already in. The okay. ticket is out.
Is that your on-air pick, Chris? Yep.
No.
All right, what do you have?
Oh, I will go with, because I stink in this segment. We're going to go over 41 because I think the under is going to hit.
Oh, you're fading yourself? You think that number is just way too low? I mean,
I'm fading myself.
It's got 21-20 written all over it.
No, I'm fading myself. Over 41.
Over. Because you really think it's the under.
Because I think the under's the play.
Do you got that out there, Utah?
But that's why the T is at 47. Under 40 looks a lot better than 41.
Oh, yeah. That's why I went with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Heady play.
Yep. So plus nine with the T's for the Saints.
7:30 airtime tonight?
Nope. 7 o'clock.
Oh, dang it.
Well, it's Bucks Network, not Westwood One. So that's why the time change.
Gene Deckerhoff with the call tonight. Right here.
Yes.
Check it out.
Fire the cannons.
Fire the cannons. It's pretty cool. All right. So that'll be fun to watch tonight. I'll have my latest college or NFL football poll power rankings tomorrow.
Ah. Oh, we didn't go over mine today.
Well, you did in the first hour.
Yeah, we really did.
Kind of a speed version.
Did, yeah, that's right.
If you want to retouch
The first four, that's all you really care about. But I'll be doing features all week on all the teams.
All right. Looking forward to that. That's at our website, ESPNSWFL.com.
Click and scroll, people. Click and scroll.
Yes.
All the way to the bottom.
It's like drop and roll, click and scroll.
That's right.
Stop, drop and roll. Lone Duke fan says, I got a winner for you guys, whoever North Carolina basketball plays.
Oof. No kidding.
Four straight.
No kidding.
Tailspin. All right. Well, that's all
I
got.
Big show tomorrow, too.
Red alert. Oh, I got
Twitter police. Dave Andrechuk, the Tampa Bay Lightning organization, former great player, won a cup with them way back 19 years ago.
All right. So his name is on the cup. Yep. How about that? All right. That'll do it, everybody. For Chris, for Pete Shepard, I'm Craig Sheeman. Kudos to me. Have yourself a great evening. Talk to you tomorrow. God bless America and God bless Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.